Today we're hanging out with Captain Suraj Tuluri, a maritime captain who has embarked on his own postgrad voyage.
This is the first time after I quit sailing.
Okay.
I'm driving more than 10 minutes. Literally for after 12 years.
That's such a statement.
I'm like, now you're a captain of a much smaller ship.
I always preferred, because I used to get the job first and then I used to move country. This is the first time I doing the second job in the same country.
Okay.
I always move out of the country for the next job. Always used to go back for lunch home. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time I'm carrying lunch.
Away, yes.
You have to pack a lunch.
You know, my father...
That's a commute.
My father's been in the same... So he's been living and working in the same building for over 20 years.
Wow.
And so exactly what you just said about lunch. So just recently, maybe a couple of years, we moved... Mm. You know, the business moved to Silicon Oasis from Dera. And he's actually... He's been commuting for like the first time in 20 years... And, you know, it's a big commute. And yes, you know, the traffic, the lunch. You used to like go back and forth.
More than the travel, it's the lunch. Because this is the first time I could actually went down to look for restaurants. And especially Sheikh Zayed, you don't find restaurants.
Some good ones, yeah.
And whatever restaurants you have 20 minutes, 40 minutes waiting. And I said, carry your lunch box.
Carry your lunch, okay.
But it's odd for me. After ship, you stay in the same building and then eat in the same building. But now, yeah, it's a new experience.
That's
but
awesome,
I don't,
man.
I'm not That's complaining it. Because the role thing. I got is really, really challenging.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Then,
no, okay.
So for my benefit, congratulations. But for my benefit, what's the role? What's it about?
I was in operations. You actually know I'm in shipping operations. Mm-hmm. So I was operation manager before handling some ships. But now I joined a startup. Mm-hmm. A Turkish-owned company with six ships. And I'm now setting up the commercial desks as a director. So now I'm one of the starting team.
Sort of founders, in a way. Second level, second wave.
So directly under the founder now, and reporting the founder. So it's been a challenge of setting up. I didn't know that. I've been working in shipping industry, not the sailing part. In the operations for last 12 years. Mm. And I never realized how much background work and so much of goes on for the operator to work in the friends game. I never knew. Because now I have to procure the softwares. I have to procure what's happening behind, what decisions we make. So it's really
setup.
Challenging.
Wow.
I mean, exciting.
You've always been on that other side of the table, sort of. And now, like, you're to set up, there's another vision that has to, you know, come into place. You know, these foundational buttons and launches. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Because now, today only we started a committee called the steering committee.
Okay.
Where the founder, me, and the other director. We have five of us who's going to steer the company itself from six ships. We want to go to 20 ships.
You use the word steer, huh? Use the word steer. It's embedded in something.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, steering committee. Yes. So that's exciting for me. I feel that I'm actually working after a long time, because for last few years it's become a monotonous job where everything was going on automatic. I go to office, things are already placed. I know what to do.
But
now it's like everything is firefighting. You go to office, you don't know what's going to come in. There's a new decision. Founder wants a meeting and then new strategy. But yes.
There is something to be said for being able to build something from the ground up instead of just, you know, coming in with what exists, because now you get to be a little bit creative if you can. You know, when you're in a bigger organization, and there are always pros and cons to being in a startup, and there are pros and cons to being in an established multinational. But you know, sometimes with the multinationals, you can't be as agile. Things are a little bit more bureaucratic.
Yeah. You have boundaries, you have limits.
Yeah, you know, it's not always that you have the opportunity to make a big change or implement something.
I totally agree, because now the way I think right now is, what would I do after I've completely set up this thing? So next journey would be either I set up something for them or I have to move on.
Move on.
Now I feel that I'm here to keep setting up. Every day has to be a new day for me, a new challenge.
Do you think that perhaps this could be the stepping stone to you setting up something for yourself? Because I know that you have ambitions in terms of your coaching.
Yes, in a way that I have to share, not me directly, but I have motivated my mother, she's 75 now, to start a small-scale industry. That happened just 2-3 weeks back.
Oh, wow.
So she's a really good cook, and she's always been into making these chili powder and masala powders in India. And she was supplying to all my friends and relatives. Mm. But now, because it's coming from maybe MBA, I changed the way I look at things.
Everywhere
I look for opportunity, especially after the FMC, Future Mindset Channel. Everywhere I see, but it was very difficult for me to convince her. She says, at 75, should I be doing this? It's a challenge. I said, age is just a number. And today she's more excited than me. She's going around every day, taking the driver, looking for places. She already looked up place for factory, and then looking for missionary, and then packing.
Wow.
It started. That's what, it's not direct, but at least in a family, I've already started, and you're absolutely right. Future is, if I change the job right now, what I'm doing, it would be my own. The next change, definitely.
So that's you would say that's sort of the natural evolution of things. So at your current situation, let me bring you back. Before these 2 years, I know that you're almost done with your program. Going back, what made you, or what had you think about pursuing a post-grad study program?
For that, I have to go back a lot of years. But let me start.
Especially because for the listeners listening, your industry isn't really connected to commerce and business. I mean, operations, shipping, and so that's a very interesting story. I'd love to hear more insights. What had you think to, sort of inspire you to connect?
Okay, let's go back few years back. How did I enter shipping? So then we'll understand why this master's.
Okay.
I always was interested in computers and getting into software because long time. I don't want to quote my age, but...
We're gonna long back.
The internet
exists for a reason.
When we didn't even see Windows, I started learning in DOS.
Okay.
That's
black
where
screen
we started.
Or green screen.
Black screen, DOS,
screen,
and floppy disk. From there, I did my lot of courses in, and I finished my graduation. So I went into Masters of Computer Applications. I joined a college, university. And at that moment, when I finished graduation, I was writing every entrance is possible. You don't know where you want to end up. So I got an offer from one of the shipping companies as a job, as an intern, where I get salary. At 20 years old, one side was I have to study another 3 years. Another side, I'm getting immediate money every month. So I decided to get into shipping. Shipping was never in my list of jobs where I have to take up, but that just happened. But I always thank that day when I decided to come to shipping, because if I look at myself as a 20-year-old and a 35-year-old when I became a captain of the ship, it's a completely different Suraj, because the Suraj which was 20-year-old was an introvert. He was scared. He had fear of everything, even a darkness. He was fear of talking, fear of meeting people, strangers. But a Suraj who was a captain of the ship at 33 I was a captain. I was at middle of the sea with 22 lives under my hand. and making sailing decisions in between the biggest oceans, like Pacific Ocean. I was all alone, all responsible. So that confidence brought me ashore that any problem, there's always a solution. Till you die, you can always find a solution.
Find a way.
So with that, because I left my master's there, I always had in mind that I had to do some master's. But once I came ashore, I was interested in a business.
When you say came ashore, as in finished your...
Sailing, yeah, sailing part. Because part of your it was career, very hard for me to keep cope going. Up with my family and
to transition,
kids.
Yeah. Right? Because it's very different when you're living at sea with your crew for months on end, and then you know you come
so
back
it
home,
was 6 months I was sailing, and then 6 months I had to be out of away from the family. So it was very, very hard for me. When I had my second kid, I couldn't go back. I quit my sea, quit the sea, and the first thing I did was I started a business. I started a business of Virgin Mobiles distribution in India, in Hyderabad. I put whatever cash I saved.
So this was like an investment, just an
investment.
I had
really no idea how.
You weren't involved, just cash investment. Let's say you're trying your luck in a way.
Exactly. I didn't have no idea about what business is. I come from a shipping background, sailing for 14 years. I come ashore. One friend comes to me and says that there is an opportunity, and if you want to invest, I said, okay, go ahead. We will invest and we will do it. So I invested in it. I thought, okay, this would be a good idea for me to stay ashore instead of sailing, and this would be my next career. I started business, and we set up. We had 12 people. We had a big office. We were distributing to 100 retail shops from our distributing center. One day, the vice president of that area sales came in, and he was along with us. We were going around. And after that meeting, my partner was into sales. I didn't have any single idea of what sales is. But he was very impressed with my sailing background and I being a captain. So at the end of the day, he calls me aside and he mentioned something, which today I feel that if I would have done MBA, I would have known what business is.
You would have sealed the deal on the spot.
So he came out and told me something which very interesting. He said, your partner... he's still not a businessman. He's still a salesman. Till he becomes a businessman, your business would not be successful. And he also mentioned that, Captain, you will not understand this now, but the day you close the business, you'll understand what I'm saying.
Oh my God. Cryptic, but cryptic.
He
like
knew
it,
that.
It shocked you. You were like, what the hell?
I didn't know, because it was shocking for someone walks to me and says that, you're going to fail. Because if you don't, ultimately, your partner doesn't become a businessman, you're going to fail. I was surprised to hear that. But I went on, and after 9 months, we had to shut down the business. Exactly what he said. And the reason was, he was still working as an employee for his own business. He never changed as a businessman. His
mindset.
Overheads were high. He never thought about his own money was
future
spent out.
Forecasts.
And we closed the business. So from that day, I decided that I need a business knowledge to do my next business. And I took up a lot of jobs in Malaysia. Then I moved to Dubai. Every time I wanted to do this course, something stopped me, whether it's financially or whether it's my own fear of whether I'll be able to complete it. So in 2017, I gathered all my courage and then applied for HALT. Because I didn't even look for a couple of universities. I just Googled which is the top. And I think in 2017, HALT was on 17th or somewhere there. And then I said, okay, fine, let me apply. And then they called me. I had interview. I had scholarship. Everything happened in a month's time. And they said, okay, when are you joining? Then when the time came to join, I said, no, I'm not ready. Again, the two
when
things.
When it became real.
Yeah, when it became real, I said...
Wait. Let me think about it again.
You know, it's both sometimes I think the fear of... success as well as the fear of failure, because at least if you haven't done it yet, you've still got something to aspire to. And then, you know, sometimes once you get it, it's like, okay, so what do I do now?
Exactly. I mean, I didn't know at that moment. I said, okay, let me hold. The next 2018, they called me again saying, are you joining us? I said, no, I'm not ready.
So you really, so you kept it off for a year?
Yeah, almost. 2017 wow. was my admission done. Everything was done. I was
so you kept it off for two years.
Oh my God.
Okay. I was supposed to pay the fees. But one thing is the finance part. I said, am I investing this, whether I'll be able to invest in? In India, it's easy to buy a land rather than actually invest
in
on
yourself
myself.
And your.
And 18, 19, 20, every year they call. 19, I think they forgot. I said, this guy is not going to join
us.
They
stopped calling.
They stopped calling me.
They stopped calling.
2020, as March, that's also a good story, because 2020, January 1st, one of the big millionaires in India, the Birla Group's CEO, gave a message to all the employees. One small message on Insta, which said, this year, June, 2020, 1st of June.
At that time, yeah.
That time, he said, by the middle of this year, the economy is going to be on the lowest possible. I don't know how he predicted COVID, but I'm not sure. But this was the message to them, and it came on Insta. And it caught me. He said, and his message was, whatever you do this year, kindly get a skill which is outside your present skill set, completely outside your present skill set. And that caught me from somewhere. And I was keep thinking about it. And I was always wanted to help people in a way of motivating. So I Googled, and then life coach came in. 2020 March, I finished my life coach, and COVID stuck. Everything got standstill. At 2021 September, I was sitting in my office, and my colleague passes by at 6 o'clock in the evening, and he just asked me, what do I do to grow to next level?
Oh, he's asking you.
He asked me. Okay. I was almost.
They're all signs, man.
Yeah, signs, you know.
They're all around you. You know, this millionaire or billionaire back home,
exactly,
and years of applying, and like a colleague passes by, like, I know it's all, exactly. It's just circling you around.
Great at night, yeah. Sailor's delight.
Exactly.
So I was almost at the entrance of the office. So he was passing by. He just sat next to me. He says, Captain, tell me something where I can grow in my career. I started giving a lecture on MBA. Why don't you do an MBA? And I told all my story. I applied to HALT and I couldn't. And he raised one simple question saying, why didn't you complete it? Why didn't you join? Why didn't you join?
Yeah.
And
you had no answer.
I had a snap.
You had no answer at the point.
I didn't
yeah.
have an answer, but at the same time, something triggered in me.
Wow. Mm.
I turned around. I was in my chair. I turned around, opened my computer.
Login.
I saw the last mail I received from HALT asking me when are you joining?
Alive?
Are you still alive? That was 2019 somewhere.
Like years ago. Yeah.
I replied to them saying,
I'm ready.
Is my application valid?
Still active, yeah. Mm.
Is my scholarship valid? Is the financials the same? And next day morning, it was 6 p.m. Mm. Next day morning, I received, it was September. It says, you're lucky because 4 years is the application status. And that's ending on October.
Oh, my God. Like
that's
a month.
That's ending in October.
It is a sign. And it was a sign.
Yeah.
If you decide to join now, it's the same application,
continue.
Same financials. You can join. The next day, I paid the fees.
And
everything happened for a reason.
Yes.
Why life coaching helped me clear my insecurities.
Mm.
Today, if I'm talking to you, it's just because of life coaching and nothing else. Because maybe if you met me in 2019, I wouldn't have even entered that room. But today I'm sitting here because of life coaching.
Wow.
And life coaching gave me the strength of accepting MBA, saying, yeah, anything is possible. There was one more challenge, was my age, because I would be the oldest in the class. long back. Because after 30
you had
years.
A goatee. You had a beard.
30 years. After 30 years, I'll be entering a classroom.
Okay.
That was a big challenge.
Big transition,
for
sure.
Because The first class I entered was, I don't know whether you'll
and
still...
And I mean, maritime shipping, it's not really your classroom setting. So even though, even exactly. as a setting, it's not your usual, you know, it's a different environment completely, what you learned in university, let's say. Yeah.
It's a completely different story. I mean, normal graduation I did 30 years back and I entered a classroom. The first day was really, really challenging because... The whole way of education has changed. I remember when I was in college, we used to be question, answer, read the answer. And
commit
then
to memory, and regurgitate.
Everything has to, even one word is different, you're going to lose your marks. But now it's completely different. I'm the plagiarism into place. You can't even place anything. I can't even explain how much difference it is because the one side, it's... You just have set of questions, set of answers. Mm. You just memorize them, go and answer. You never even understand the concept. It doesn't matter because you just need to replicate what you have studied. Mm. But the other side here, you need to understand. You need to write something which is completely new. You cannot even copy from the internet, write from any book. Everything has to come from your own. It was a big challenge. And if you see my grades... I was going through my grades and I realized that the first three grades were really, really bad. I don't want to mention it here. But then...
When he says bad, it's A-.
Not even close. But I've, that after the first three modules where I have really worked hard on myself. Mm. And after that, it was never looking
smooth right. sailing. Mm.
And I ended up with FMC almost on the top.
Mashallah, so, yes. I guess yes.
It
so
was
it's
one
that
of
curve.
The best challenges we took. And awesome. You were there. Yes. And then our experience with the future mindset was amazing. And I was so happy that where I started and where I ended up has given me so much of confidence in education itself, how to pursue it. And one thing I remember to also the dean said, which has really, I liked it. You know, the last day, she said, today you may look back and say, I've not learned anything because everything what you've learned, you already knew in bits and pieces. But when you go into the real world and you face something, maybe you see a account sheet or whether you see a balance sheet, then you will have that knowledge or the perception would be different.
Yeah. Mm.
That actually stuck me. And today, it's really true because today, everywhere I look for opportunity.
Mm.
What we can do better or what we can take this as an opportunity and do something more. And the value, what we can bring into that organization. So that actually changed in me. So it was major change was the way I look at things. The perception has completely changed.
Okay. Your mindset changed.
Yes,
for sure.
The mindset, the grow, how I think about
step by step
process, everything has changed. And now I feel that nothing is impossible. Like everything is possible in life.
It's amazing.
But that, I mean, it's not, but the reason I gave you the whole story and the journey, because it's not one thing I cannot pinpoint saying that, how did I enter MBA or how did I get the courage? Because if I didn't have these steps,
conditioning
myself and improving myself, I wouldn't have ended up completing MBA with flying colors. I can literally say flying colors because FMC was something which went on really, really good.
So FMC, just to clarify, is that final core module in your postgrad.
Exactly.
So it's like, let's say it's your dissertation, it's your, you know, final thesis in a way. Okay.
So that was actually amazing what we have done.
It's your culmination of the journey. Okay.
All what we have learned in the 18 modules we're going to put there. And that was amazing. And I was proud about myself where I was. If I go back as a 20-year-old Suraj and what I am today is completely... I'll tell you, recently I met one of my college mate in 2020. I mean, I was meeting him after 27 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, be careful. Be careful.
Yeah. We're getting tidbits. We can piece this timeline together.
People are going to start doing the math.
Okay, fine.
I need to be
long back.
Yeah, we have to be careful.
Like, yes, exactly.
So in the comments, guess the age in the
maybe
comments.
Maybe we can edit it and get it.
we can run a poll.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was surprised to see me because he says, Suraj, I it's completely different what you are today.
Wow.
So I was really happy to hear that because what he saw me then and what I am now is two
it's
different
the
personalities.
Return, the ROI kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I feel that it's not the different personality. I was supposed to be then, but because of my insecurities, because of my conditioning as a kid and what I went through, a lot of bullying and other things. So maybe because of that, my conditioning, I was scared
skewed
of a few
bit,
things.
Yeah. Mm.
But all these journey, being a captain of the ship, being responsible, gave me confidence. After life coaching, it was a different level of what confidence I have. And with MBA, I think nothing. There's no return.
It's such an inspirational story. I mean, I remember now thinking we spoke to many people, and it's a spectrum of experiences. You know, you have people who woke up in a month, you know, and took the decision and just jumped right in, and you know, someone like you who's been literally conditioned and being sent signs left and right, but at the end of the day. You it's amazing how you feel, you know, in that completion cycle, you know, that you feel the development, the evolution, the return, like you said, that ROI on your personal investment. That's I think the target hitter, the goal. You feel like, yes, you know, I have achieved something, not just something amazing, and it's just the sky's the limit. Like you said, nothing's impossible now.
Nothing
moving forward.
Is impossible. Mm. Yes, exactly. And as Jim Rohn said, maybe you have heard, he says, don't work hard on your job, work hard on yourself.
That's a good one.
Because that's where you're going to invest more, and I totally believe. And as and when I'm investing, I mean, I started investing in myself from a couple of years, maybe let's say 10 years from now. I realized that a lot of things have to be changed. But the major change happened in 2020 when I did my life coaching. And from then on, everything is different around me, what people I meet and what I can achieve has completely changed.
Wow.
So there's no turning back.
So you got way more out than what you put in.
Definitely. And I always remember there's a story I was hearing the other day. It was a story about two kids.
Okay. Mm.
And these two kids were very, very happy kids and going around. One was 14 and another was 8-year-old. And they were always a small village and always happy playing around. And one day they were playing around and they lost the way. They went up to further than what they were supposed to go. And then one of the elder kid falls into a well. And then there was nobody around and it was getting dark.
It's the elder kid.
Elder kid, the 14-year-old. And the 8-year-old was
the one left
to
deal with it.
And deal with it. He couldn't see anyone around. He was shouting but couldn't do anything. And then he found a rope and then he puts the rope into the well. This 14-year-old holds onto the rope, but 8-year-old...
How can he pull him up?
So he was still looking for help. He runs around. He couldn't find it. Getting dark. So this guy keeps yelling at for help. And then an 8-year-old decides that there's nobody else. So he starts pulling him slowly one step at a time. And he gathers all the strength and pulls him out. They come back. And then they give the story to their parents. And the parents don't
believe
them. They say, okay, this is just because you're late. You're making up this story. And then this story goes around the village. It's so easy. And everywhere they walk around, people were teasing. The 8-year-old lived, the 14-year-old. And everyone was teasing them. One day, the head of the village, one of the wisdom elder, he hears this out. And he calls everyone to the village courtyard.
Mm.
And he says, do you know that whatever the kids are saying is true? whole village. You know, how can it happen that an 8-year-old can
pull a 14-year-old?
Pull a 14-year-old. And he says he can. He did. I believe them. He did, because there was no one to tell him that he cannot.
No limitations.
Yeah.
No suppression.
Yes. When I heard the story, there was nothing impossible. Because I feel that all our conditioning is the fear of unknown is because of someone says that you cannot. Even today, if my when I started my MBA, my son says, how can you go
back to school.
To school at this age? Because they...
Weird.
Because they can't understand, but...
To them, it's a milestone. You're done. You know, why are you going back?
And that conditioning, maybe my son asking me, why are you going, can be the same when I was a kid. Parents saying that you can't do this. Or whether I want to take up some studies and friends say that you're not
good enough.
Enough for that study. So it's always been the
voices,
case.
Right? You've got the one that says I can, and you've got the one that is like, no, you can't. And depending on the external voice, you know, that's going to determine the majority. So do you have a cheerleader who's like, yes, you can, so at least now you've got two against the one?
Yeah.
Or are you going to... Because, you know, I saw something similar. It was about fleas that they put in a jar. And they shut the jar, and the fleas keep on jumping up, trying to get out of the jar. And eventually, after I don't know what period of time they have the fleas in the jar, but they condition the fleas so that even when they take the lid off, the fleas no longer jump higher than the lid of the jar, almost as if it's anticipating the barrier.
Or some barrier.
And then, if you take the jar away entirely, the fleas are still just jumping the same height.
Wow. It's conditioning,
yes.
And it's conditioning. So
and that's happening everywhere, and it starts with a very young age. And until we beat that, I'm blessed that my journey, where it was not a sudden one night I wake up and, as you said, people wake up in the morning and say, okay,
on a whim.
Let's go.
And then let's do it. Everything NBA is tomorrow. Yeah, happen. Yeah. No, it took me a long time of conditioning, of in different phases of my life, to condition myself mentally, confidence, and then fear. All that eventually now I'm in a stage where I say, okay, don't look back. Whatever is there, is keep looking for rent and keep walking.
I mean, whatever happened, don't look back. But I mean, look back and learn, obviously.
Exactly.
But don't look back and, you know, second question or regret. Speaking of looking back, if you can go back to your, you know, younger self now, knowing what you know now, what kind of advice would you give young Suraj, specifically about cognitive and, you know, conditioning?
Exactly. And in 20s when I was there, that Suraj, I would say that to do more education, because I quit education at a very... in between to join for a job.
Relatively young age,
because I should have completed my education fully, if you ask that one. But if you ask a captain, I would say that to continue the business, which the 33-year-old, when I was supposed to do the business, I should have continued the business. And for that, because I didn't have the knowledge of business, I should have done MBA then, when I was supposed to do the business. So for an ang, at different stages, it would be different advice. And definitely, if a student, to my kids, so my elder one, I always tell him to educate him, at the same time pursue to do something on his own rather than working for someone. That's what I feel, that same advice I could have given the younger one. But I do the same thing with my son now. I always tell him that don't educate yourself to do a job. Getting a job is very easy. The whole education or pursuing something should be to do something valuable for yourself and pursue something as a startup. So work for yourself.
Build your own journey.
Build your own path.
It's always going to be unique.
Rather than build for someone else.
In a way, you're right. I mean, I can understand that some people, I guess, find solace in this sort of model of, you know, I'll call it just for the sake of simplicity, the corporate model, working for someone else, being an employee. But
because sometimes it's safer, you know, there's less risk. As people, we don't, you know, we tend to shy away from risk and the unknown. So, you know, we go with whatever we think is a sure thing, you know. So, I mean, even I, you know, I sometimes forget that, I suppose, how I was raised. And, you know, my parents did everything that they could to support me through my studies. But it was always, the emphasis was study, get a good degree, go and get a good job. And I think then I always shied away from maybe trying something a little bit different, trying something for myself, because I think I just assumed, you know, I don't have the know-how or the skills and it's not something that I can develop. And then even I forget that, you know, I was 13 years old and I convinced our church minister to lend me the church hall because I'd never been to a rock show in my life and I desperately wanted to go to one. So I got the minister to give us the church hall. I had two or three bands sign up. You know, these little high school garage bands sign up to come and play in the church hall.
Awesome.
And I even got 13, a vendor.
13-year-old. Yeah. So not like 17, 18, like 13, like starting teenage,
imagine
starting
what
teenage.
Could do
and back in the day, that's crazy. Yes.
And I went to like one of these little corner cafes, these little corner shops. And I went and told them, you know, if you bring your cool drinks and your confectionaries, you know, your whatever, just come and set it up. You can sell and you can take it, but at least everybody would have refreshments. I probably now would have told myself, listen, think about marketing and maybe. But, you know, I did it because, you know, vision, I had nothing, vision, I had nothing to lose. And what I really wanted to gain was I wanted to go to a rock show. Nice. I wanted to see bands perform. Yeah. You know, and some days I have to remind myself that I, somewhere in me is that spirit, you know, that little girl who's like, I can do this.
Yes.
I don't know how, but we'll figure this out as
it's
we
like
go along.
It's like a mental trigger or mental milestone that you can always sort of go back when you face a hardship or you face some sort of challenge and feel like maybe I'm not good enough or maybe I don't have the answer or the solution. You know, you go back to that little girl and be like, Dan, 13, rock show, you know, I did that. Yes, it's doable. Yeah. Or, you know, you go back to that person and be like, you know what? It's doable. Why not? It gives you that boost.
I do. Totally agree
with that. End of film plot twist, you know, that push.
I remember, as you said, sometimes when I talk to my sister, all my mom keeps reminding me that when we were kids, me and my sister were 2 years apart. And she's angry to me. And she says, when we were 13, 14 year old, we were talking about business. Like we want to start a business and then we want to do something of our own. At 13, when I was 13, maybe she's 11. And we always, maybe as a kids, we were entrepreneurs, but now she's an entrepreneur in US. She started. And I'm also an entrepreneur. Because
you're on the way.
I feel that. So maybe that transition of teenage where I think most of the insecurities happen. You're right, 13, we're strong. Maybe 13 of me would be stronger than I was 20-year-old. Maybe that teenage where...
Yeah, like 16, you start to take a dip and become, I think, a little bit more conservative.
At 16 is the age where everything changes. And maybe because of the change of hormones, or I'm not
that
sure
biological,
that the biological
change as well, some
insecurities
impacts.
Happen in that age of teens. And then if parents, friends, and teachers don't notice it and encourage people, maybe there will be a dip. Today, I only take care of that with my kids. My kids, I make sure that I
support
keep
system,
support
keep
system
that
is
support
there.
System in these crazy
when
years,
they are in
yeah.
teenage, my one is already... An adult
past that age.
But the anger one is passing within. Through. So I'm not careful, but at least I
conscious
and keep talking to him and then give that freedom to approach and say anything he wants to say. Today he can talk to me. The other day he says, Daddy, can I use the slang when you are around. I said, if you want to, but it is not respectful. So he understands that it's not good. Where
it's not just a taboo instruction. Yeah, it's trouble instruction. You're giving reasoning, you know.
Reasoning for everything. So today I do understand.
Did he use it then?
No. He doesn't. But it's a way to make them understand. The other day, my elder one is in Germany. So when he was leaving, I said only one thing. Do everything in your life, but never touch a drug because that would be addictive. Mm. He says, I do remember, Daddy, because you told me a story. When he was 15-year-old, I told him a story about a quicksand. It says, addiction is like a quicksand. Your first step, you feel good because soft mud. But the second step, there are three stages of quicksand. First step, you can come out of yourself. The second stage is you're so deep that you need a help of another one to come out. And the third stage is even with an external help, you cannot. So this story, I just told them casually in a place.
In a setting.
And it actually clicked. Hooked. And when I was talking, when I was talking to him, he says, Daddy, I remember, it's a quicksand. So even my younger one, whenever I talk about anything about addiction, they don't even know, I have to know. I says, Daddy, we know it's a quicksand. We do understand it's a quicksand, and there are three stages.
It's amazing.
But one was 15, other was 10-year-old when I told them this story. So I think that's how we have to reason, rather than telling them that, no, you should not do it. Because nowadays teenagers are more mature than what we are, and
they're
know more.
So much more.
It's a different world.
When you ask me, what do I do to anger one? I can't do much about there, but what I can do with my kids changes everything. They're going to become. So that's the only way we can change this, to understand them rather than... Because when I was growing up, everything would be no. There is no reasoning for that, because we agree. Today, I make sure that I have a reason. If I don't have, I tell them that I don't. I made a mistake. I don't want you to guys to do that.
Kids these days, you give them the reason, but it's not convincing.
You're not convincing enough. He keeps asking.
So you keep the reason.
They also have counter-arguments.
And then you'd be like, okay, let's keep it democratic here. When do you become a tyrant? You're on a ship. I don't think democracy works on a ship.
It cannot work. You can't.
Gotta take the lead. You have to take the lead.
On ship, you have to take the command. Only one can talk, because if everyone talking, ship's gonna go. It's gonna keep rotating. He says, "I want to go this direction." The other one goes. That cannot happen. But there are some places.
It's a metaphor. Sometimes it is a ship.
Especially with the present generation, I think we should be able to be more adaptive and understanding. At the same time, you have to be able to explain in a way they understand, rather than what we know. Conditioning is like that.
Instead of saying no, tell them why not.
Why not? Yes, exactly.
Because it's the no that I remember I would have wanted to rebel against. It's like, why no? You know, I can figure this out.
We
for
did
myself.
The same thing.
Maybe I can't.
I did everything what my dad said no. Maybe he's not. He will not look at hear this or look at this. But everyone,
we're gonna send him a copy.
No
special delivery.
But every kid is the same. If I ask you everything what our parents said no, we have done that in our life.
It's been intriguing, you know.
Because we are curious about it.
You dance around moth to the flame.
There was no explanation why we should not do. But today, I was really happy when my son said, "Yes, I know that's a quicksand." Then I didn't have to explain.
Talk anymore.
Because
it
was just a casual. My sister's niece's birthday. They had a small birthday, and I had to give a small talk about to her. And then I told about this thing, this small story that kids please. And that small story
got anchored
there. And that's important. How are we going to explain these things? The same thing applies to even adults now. It's not only kids. It applies to the adults. To tell them that, if someone who wants to do an MBA, if you're talking about MBA, if someone is feeling that whether it is possible, even that doubt, he has to go and do it. Because anything which you have a doubt or a fear, rather than living in that fear, I feel today, I have to explore. The other day, someone told me that he went for a cold dip. And for me, I cannot even do a cold shower.
Not just you.
It's always the hot. The heater has to be on for an hour before I walk into the shower.
I don't know how to do it.
You're talking about the ice ball. Yes.
Ice ball.
I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it.
And I said, there was jitter in my head. How can you be there for 10 degrees for 15 minutes? And the next moment I said, why not?
Mm. Mm.
And the next opportunity I went, I took the dip.
Mm.
And initially I thought, okay, it's going to be, go in and come out. But the time period is for 15 minutes. So I thought, okay, I'll sit there first 5 minutes and then I walk out. After 5 minutes, I said, why not another 5 minutes when I'm already there? When I'm 10 minutes, I said, okay, it's all
right.
I finished that 5 minutes and then walk. And 15 minutes, when I came out, I felt so good.
So refreshed, wow.
It's not about, the refreshing part is another part.
It's about actually overcoming that. And I can actually relate to this because last weekend was my first ice bath.
Wow.
Oh my God. It's a thing now.
It's a thing.
Am I the only one who is still like old school? No.
We're going to organize. I'm going to take you guys.
It's amazing.
I cannot do it.
And I know because we were about 15 people and there's this yoga studio and they do it sort of in this oasis of their back garden. So there's 15 people and you do yoga first to warm yourself up and you're in the sun and then they've got these two tubs and they're filled with water and ice and they're like, okay, now one by one we need to go in.
Mm.
So I am the only newbie. Everybody else has at least had some exposure to this. I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to go last because I'm hoping that people will leave because I don't want an audience for my failure, even think I'd get to the shivering stage. I thought I would get in and get out. So I was like, you know, if I can get in, that's an achievement for me. And there was this lovely Colombian girl and, you know, we were standing there and chatting. I'm like, oh, okay, so you had, you know, two experiences prior to this. She's like, yes. I'm like, you know, can you give me a tip, a heads up, what to expect? She's like, it's very painful. Oh, God.
Oh, my now God. Like, now, conditioning.
You know, conditioning.
Oh, my God. You know?
So now I'm anticipating this pain.
Oh, my God.
And I see her get in and I see her trying to power through it. And I think she was in for about 5 minutes and she gets out. And eventually, and I'm just waiting to be the last. And one of the guys kind of chickens out and he's like, no, he's not ready to go yet. So they're like, okay, you go. And I'm like, really? And I get in, and I mean, you're just sort of like it just comes up to your hips, and it is so cold. I thought that the bones in my knees felt like they were going to splinter apart, and I started hyperventilating. I'm like, and then I thought, no, calm your breathing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like focus on the breathing, PQ reps. So, so I started breathing in deep through my nose and exhaling through my, and I managed to calm myself and I was like, okay, you just need to lower yourself shoulder deep. And I went down and I got comfortable and the water's up to my shoulders and I was just holding onto the edge of this tub. And I was like, okay, they've got music playing. I'm like, one song. It's all you need to do. Get to the song. And then the next song started. I'm like, it's a 3 minute song. You can do another 3 minute song. And I did a song. And then they were like, oh, you've been in for 7 minutes. I was like, let's get to 10. And by the time I was at 10, I was also, I can do 15.
15.
And I did 15 on my first try. And it is so invigorating. But it's that when you get out that you realize that you overcame something that you couldn't do. And they asked everybody to share something afterwards about their experience. And I said, it was really just emphasizing the fact that sometimes the fear of doing something is worse than doing that thing itself.
Exactly.
Because honestly, I think I was far more anxious waiting to get into this tub and have everybody watch me than what it was when I was actually in there. You know, when you're in there and just being able to control your mind and control your body and you know, work your way through it. I was like, really, it's like a metaphor for life.
This is absolutely,
I needed that about 5 years ago.
I mean, I love how this conversation kind of like segued since we started. We're talking about, you know, these life experiences that, like you said, is what really builds on this growth mindset, this incremental mindset.
That's how.
So, you know, whether you're getting into a tub, a cold, you know, cold ice bath, or you're doing your, you know, post-grad studies, or you're, you know, developing, or you're doing something, it's these overcoming these fears and taking these, you know, little steps and realizing that instead of, you know, again, MBA, it's 2 years. Someone, 2 years. Oh my God, that's crazy. But then you figure it out. It's a week at a time. It's a month at a time.
Exactly.
It's a course at a time. It's an assignment at a time. It's a team, you know, meeting at a time. And then you feel that achievement, that sense of achievement when you're done. That, yes, you know, I've done two, why not three? I've done three, why not four, five, six? And when you're done, you feel that accomplishment. And it just pushes you, it gives you that positive energy to go forward. I mean, going back to post-grads, what would you have wanted to know going in that you know now in that experience? Yeah.
Tip, I would know, I mean, I would not, the knowledge part, because that's everywhere it is available. But yes, the change of perception part, if someone would have told me how it would help me to change myself, how that MBA would affect me personally in my confidence and how it will change my looking at my own fears, that would have helped me to take the decision faster. Rather than, because if you see from 2017 to 2021, I was only looking at finance and whether I'll be able to study. Because two things I was looking at. I was not looking at how it'll develop me and how it'll change me.
I mean, the studying
that
itself.
That part nobody told me.
Yeah, I mean, the studying itself, the impact of the courses, meeting the people, you know, dealing with people from, you know, different backgrounds, different industries.
Yeah, that part I think people have to promote. The MBA is not about studies in MBA, because the knowledge is available on today. You go anywhere.
You can do every single course on Coursera. Not the ones that we, but there will be a similar course on Coursera or Udemy. And you can do the short course on your own and you'll get the knowledge. But are you going to be enriched by that experience?
Exactly. And also the presentations, the team, group meetings, meeting people, understanding that experience, nobody told me. I think if you ask me, yes. I think if someone would have told me how much that would change me as a person, I would have taken this decision much earlier rather than only looking at numbers, how much I'm going to spend and how much I'm going to study.
The real value
is in the networking and the perception of change, what it brings, and the growth mindset, what it builds. As we were discussing, it's a step-by-step process. People have to take a decision saying that, okay, instead of, like, we are in Bursa, and then if someone wants to get into Sheikh Zayed Road, and if someone wants to go to Abu Dhabi, let's say, and then he has to take Sheikh Zayed, and he says, okay, let me keep going around in Bursa, and then we'll see when we can go to Abu Dhabi. He'll never reach Abu Dhabi. Because he's going to go around, round and round, and he'll keep getting the same studio, he'll keep getting the same hospital, he's going to get the same school again and again and again in his life, and he's never going to reach Abu Dhabi unless until he starts the journey, get onto the Sheikh Zayed, and then it'll
and
take
go.
Him. So if someone wants to do something, get onto the cold bath first, and then you decide whether you want to be in 1 minute or whether you want to finish in 15 minutes.
Yeah, take the first step and see how it
goes. Take the first step, at least put your leg into that cold water and see how it feels. Rather than
how it's all aquatic with you.
Very definite theme.
And you stay outside and you stay for 100 years or whatever years you stay outside that tub and say, I want to take a cold dip. It will never happen unless you put your leg inside.
Yeah, you got to get in.
You have to get in.
It reminds me of a quote that said, everything that you've ever wanted in your life is waiting for you just at the edge of your comfort zone.
Perfect. Correct. Well said. I totally agree.
That is correct. Absolutely. I think it's very important to to make it and make an effort to extend out of your comfort zone. And, you know, like you said, pleasures await, you know, and development await, positivity awaits. That is something that's maybe there's a, you know, iron curtain or behind that curtain, you don't know, but it's real, these positives.
Of course. Definitely, because the job I took up, I had two options. One job I got in JLT. I live in JLT. I got a job in JLT and with much more hike than what I'm doing right now. And there was this where I drive 20 minutes every day, carry my lunchbox. And,
but it challenges you.
And the salary part was actually, they just matched my salary. I had two choices, but I want to take the difficult path because it's always exciting. There. JLT is always there. Yeah. These things will keep coming into my life. Mm. That JLT option will be always there. But these options are the difficult options. And unless until I drive 20 minutes, I carry my lunchbox and do a director job, I will never know how it feels.
How it feels.
And now I'm enjoying it. I'm not, no complaints about it. I enjoy the decisions I make. I enjoy the men. I enjoy what I bring onto the table. I enjoy the value I people expect from me. And that's
feel
that everything changes.
You know, part of this, let's say, newfound enjoyment or that newfound, you know, areas in your career stemmed from your exposure to these to a post-grad program. Did you feel like new areas of interest were sparked?
I give 50% to 60% to MBA and the rest to
coaching.
20-30% to coaching and 20% to my sea career.
Because okay.
If I was not a captain, I would not be a life coach.
Yes.
I would not
be
an MBA.
Okay.
So, but MBA has give it's I think it's the final icing on the cake, kind of a thing, which gave me the full confidence that if I could complete an MBA.
Yeah.
With whatever
with
background
status,
I had, with
yeah.
After 30 years, I go to a business school and complete it successfully. I think there's no way. There's no looking back. I mean, yes, it's only to learn lessons from what I have, but it's always forward. Any challenge today, I look at only one way, saying that if there is a challenge, there is a solution.
Correct.
It's only that we are not looking for it in the right place. And you have to keep looking.
Speaking of challenges, what was a major challenge you faced during your program? Something that really came, like something distinct that you remember that really, you know, had you, a challenge.
Okay, a couple of challenges was, the first challenge was the public speaking, which I was not used to. Because the major thing we changed today. I mean, today we're both talking so easily.
Look at us, I know.
In front of cameras. It's all because of MBA and so many presentations we had in our whole program that it changed everything. It looks like today, if we stand in front of a public stage, I can talk for 10 minutes on any topic, given topic. That changed the public presence and that fear I have, that challenge I could come out. The next one was not every group. Our group was the best, but
still
the best.
I love that.
Still the best. And I feel connecting with people was a challenge in couple of groups, which also I learned now how to handle it. So these were a couple of challenges. Otherwise, studies initially was a challenge. I told you to write assignments.
You feel like time management was an issue?
Time management initially. All that was in the first three modules where I don't want to reveal my grades. again. So that was the first.
A minus.
That was the first three grades where I couldn't manage my time. I couldn't write my assignment because I didn't know how to do it. I was used to writing answers which I memorized. But everything changed.
Yeah.
I mean, today you give me 2,000 words, I can write that. So I think that those challenges I have. Every challenge which I faced today, I have come out of it. So I'm proud of myself.
So I think to close off maybe, what advice would you give to somebody else coming in and starting this journey?
if they have decided and if they had the thought, I think they should take the road rather than sitting there and wondering what would happen once I get onto the road. I always say, take the metaphor of getting onto the Sheikh Zayed because it's easier to understand. If people start thinking what would happen between the journey from here to Abu Dhabi, whether I reach and not get into Sheikh Zayed, they don't have a chance. But let's say we go onto the Sheikh Zayed, whether there is a flat tire, whether there is a engine trouble, whether there is a
traffic, an accident,
a detour, you have to deviate. But still, there is a journey towards a goal. Rather than sitting on the other side, looking at the Sheikh Zayed and saying,
what does it look like
if I take this journey? So I always see, if there is a thought, definitely good.
What if?
What if, exactly. And if you actually see Steve Harvey's Insta reels, he mentions in one of the things, he says, dreams, what we get in the night, are the way God or the universe communicating with us what you're supposed to do. So if you have a dream or if you have some thought of doing this, that means the universe is telling you to go and get onto the Sheikh Zayed and do this. So my advice to everyone who's listening or who have the thought of going into postgrad, the moment you have the thought, it's already there and you have to drive towards it. Take it up. One step at a time, 1 month at a time, 1 week at a time, one assignment at a time, and you can complete it.
That's awesome. That's I want to do my MBA again.
I'm actually missing the classes, but yeah, definitely.
DBA awesome. Boys, DBA is maybe. Calling.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Suraj. This was
awesome. Thank you, Adam. Yeah. Thank you, Andrea.
Very insightful and maybe not the usual sort of mode, but I think it was much beneficial as talking about courses and whatnot.
Of course.
Yeah. This is the essence of the journey, for sure.
It's the comfort we have with we three. We could talk so freely, but definitely it was good to be here. And thank you, Adam, for arranging this. And thank you, Andrea.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
We're good?
We're good.